going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1 along with Emily D. Baker. You can find her on the Law Nerd app. You can find her on YouTube. And she, what she does, it's fantastic. So the trial is going on, and then Emily will be there. And she will help break things down as they happen. She will pause the trial for a moment, to explain. Or if someone in the chat has a question, she takes questions. She will fast forward through things, you know, when there's a police officer that's telling about his 20 years of training, she puts it on 1.5 so you don't have to watch it, which I appreciated yesterday. Thank you for that. So let me ask you this, Emily. One of the things with the retrial, and we've had some questions via text as well about this, is the brain, the mind, the memory of it all, because there's a lot of, you said this in this meeting or in front of this jury or the last time around, but now is your memory better or
and
worse?
The least accurate thing in the world is the human memory. So
right.
Like, how does that all play in, kind of?
And it gets confusing, to be honest with you. I forget who was asking what and said what when.
See?
I
memory.
It has to be the same for the jurors, right?
It is really hard, and I want to finish that question from before about the judge, because it would be very unusual to not have the same judge on a retrial. It's very normal and preferable to have the same judge because they know the case, they know the previous rulings, they know the previous evidence. It goes much smoother and faster. It's very unusual to change judges on a retrial. So I wanted to answer that because I get that question a lot too. And then, yes, memory's hard because you get flipping back and forth through different transcripts. Some of these witnesses testified at a state grand jury, at a federal grand jury, during the first proceeding, or last time, as they are trying to say, not trial in front of the jury, because the jury shouldn't know there was a previous trial. And then this time, it can be four different testimonies, in addition to various police reports. So oftentimes the witnesses will sit down and reread all of that. But there are times that their memory of an event and their memory of what they read differ by the time you get further away from an incident. So that's why there should be police reports. That's why there should be interviews that are recorded with all the witnesses separately to memorialize that as close in time as it happens. And that is hard in this case because some of the witnesses weren't interviewed separately. Some of them didn't get told not to sit down and talk to each other by law enforcement. So after this happened, everybody was trying to figure it out and talking to each other. And then the memories get all intertangled, and that makes it very hard to untangle at trial.
There was a text. Do you think the new DNA introduced by the defense of five unknown males is going to be significant or not? I think this was in regards to the shoe or something along those lines, if I recall.
Yes, it depends on how it comes in, and it depends on what the jury thinks of how the evidence was handled. Evidence shouldn't have DNA from law enforcement or other contributions like that, but can it happen? This evidence wasn't always logged. And how many people might touch your shoe if you're taking it on and off at your house? So it depends on how it's explained, but it could be.
Also, something that was interesting that you were talking about yesterday was how much information Carrie Roberts and Jen McCabe shared with each other in the moments after all of this happened. They put together their own timeline trying to figure all of this out, which, of course, now the defense is saying, you know, was this information that you knew or was this information that you heard from somebody else, which is kind of, again, it's just clouding everything of trying to figure out who actually knew or saw what.
It does. It makes it really hard. And law enforcement never told them, hey, we're going to investigate what happened, so don't talk to each other about what happened. They should have been interviewed after they were at Good Samaritan Hospital separately, and it should have been recorded. That should have happened. It would have preserved what they knew and what they didn't know at that time. It's real hard to undo what you know versus what somebody told you. And that, I think, Kerry Roberts was really upfront about it when being asked. She said, no, this is what I was told. This is what I remember. But yes, those things could have been intertwined after this traumatic event. We sat down to try to walk through what happened. At that point, law enforcement was just starting to treat it like a crime scene. Mm-hmm. But when first responders rolled out, they treated it like an unknown medical call and treated it like that for quite a while, actually, and didn't rope off the scene. There wasn't evidence tape. And they didn't tell people, don't talk to each other about this. We're going to interview you. So it all the way around is what it is. And Kerry Roberts didn't back down from it. But yes, memories can get conflated. But I think that's why we saw the prosecution using some of those tapes of Karen Reed, because they backed up what Kerry was saying about what Karen Reed was saying. And from the last trial, her testimony was really linear and was not overemphasized. She was clear about what she didn't remember, though she did get hit on that on cross-examination for telling the grand jury something she was told, not something she heard. But I thought she didn't over-exaggerate her memory. And we'll see how it lands with the jury by the time we get to the end of this. I think they'll really want to hear the digital evidence, what the cell phones say, the cell phone battery temperature.
Oh, I'm interested in the cell phone battery stuff. That was,
yes, I'm really interested to see that. And then there's more information from Karen Reed's SUV that we didn't see in the last trial because the police couldn't extract it. So there's going to be a lot more scientific evidence. And when the witnesses are all over the place, I find that juries tend to lean into, well, what did you text? What did you say in your phone? What did your phone do? Right. And then what do the experts say?
It was tough day with the trial yesterday, too, seeing John O'Keefe's mom up there testifying for the first time.
It was very incredibly sad. Emotional. Yeah. Yes, it was.
Emily
yes, it
D.
was
Baker,
a very hard thing, I'm sure.
Yep, our favorite law nerd, thank you for coming in and breaking all of this down for you. We will have you back on again next Thursday.
Yeah.
And if you want to get up to speed on everything she's doing, Emily, find her on the Law Nerd app, and then you can also find her across social media and YouTube. Thanks, Emily. It's good
thank
to see you.
You.
Good to talk to you.
Thanks, guys. See you
I say
soon.
Good to see
Bye.
You. I see you. You don't see me.
Same.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 104.1.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.